Morning. Good to see you. Thank you for coming this morning. We have a special and different day scheduled today for our ministry. I've invited two families from Bibles International to come, and one will be presenting now, and then the other in the morning service. And then we have planned to divide and conquer them, actually, tonight. We're hoping to send Joe and Bonnie to Howell this evening because that's sort of on their way back to Grand Rapids, and that might be good for them to kind of get on their way if the snow is going to fly this evening also. So so we have Joe and Bonnie Valentin here. It's like Valentine except no E at the end, right? So they are with Bibles International, and you're familiar with some missionaries from Bibles International. Remember Alex Wheeler? Alex has just recently been married to Elizabeth a couple weeks ago just now. So we're hoping to see them again next summer, the both of them. And also Ross and Kathy Hodsden have been here before. So you're familiar with the ministry of Bibles International, but I say you generally as a church, but we need to get re-familiarized with their work. It's very important work. And so this morning, Joe and Bonnie will share testimony and then show some multimedia stuff. And then this in the morning worship service, we will have Joel Wagner. Joel is in the middle back there. Why don't you just, there we are, and you can get to meet him. And he is traveling by himself. His wife is expecting their fourth child. Is that right? Fifth child, sorry. And Sarah, right? And their three kids, and they're not able to be with Joel today. So he's here by himself. But we're glad that he's here, and looking forward to his ministry in the Word in Psalm 119 and in Romans. So I think I'm going to stop there and let these guys go ahead and introduce themselves and their ministry, and we'll enjoy. So since we've kind of pushed you back a little bit, don't hesitate to take until at least 10:35. Okay? Yeah. Just go for it. We're looking forward to your ministry, so thank you.
Appreciate it. Well, thank you all for having us today. We're very excited to be here. I'm going to have what we'd like to do this morning is Bonnie and I would like to share our testimonies with you, how the Lord led us through our lives up to serving Him at Bibles International. And then we'd like to show you a DVD that we produced this year regarding our ministries in Africa. And then also the Lord provided an opportunity for me to travel to Chad, West Africa this summer. And so I have a PowerPoint in regarding that. I'd like to share that with you too. So I'm going to have my wife, Bonnie, come up here, and I'll let her start giving her testimony.
Well, I'm very thankful that the Lord put me in a family in upstate New York, that we attended church faithfully, and that's where I learned about Jesus and God and my need for a Savior at a young age. But it wasn't until I was about 13 that I actually accepted the Lord as my Savior, and I was baptized. And in my teen years, I realized that there were some things that I really questioned in my church, and I realized that it really was not a doctrinally sound church. There were some things that were a problem. And I began to pray that the Lord would send me to a church where I had some true Christian friends and that I could really learn and grow in the faith. And the Lord honored that prayer. As a young adult, He did lead me to a church where I made many Christian friends that I still have today. And the Lord sent a couple of very, very special friends. And one was a young man that he was actually battling cancer at the time. But we became best of friends, and he was one that really influenced me with full-time ministry. And we did eventually marry, and the Lord took him home shortly after we were married through the cancer. And through that, I had more battles, more struggles spiritually. I really wanted to honor the Lord with my life, but I struggled with a lot of hurt and confusion over the death of my husband. And the Lord used that. He sent me to Clearwater, Florida, where I wanted to finish a degree that I had started years ago. And I did finish my degree, but during that time, the church that I was attending, there was a missionary lady with Campus Bible Fellowship. And she took me under her wing, and she ministered to me, and she became my mentor even to this day. And she really helped me through that struggle and to really grow spiritually. And she challenged me with full-time missions and ministry. And by the time I met Joe, we had decided as a couple that wherever the Lord would lead us in ministry, that's what we wanted to do. And the Lord did lead us to Clearwater Christian College, where we ministered for over 16 and a half years. And we enjoyed the ministry there. And when the Lord ended that ministry, we began to pray again that the Lord would send us into ministry of some sort. And the Lord sent us to Bibles International. And I'll let Joe tell about that.
Thank you, dear. The Lord saved me at a very young age. I'm very thankful for that. I was saved at the age of 7. And it seems like the Lord has treated me a little bit like Moses. I've had a 40-year internship to get to this point. Not that I'm 47. But the Lord blessed me also with a godly mother. And at some point in our childhood, she felt the need to raise my brother and I with a Christ-centered home life. And so she began buying these biographies of Christian heroes of the faith, missionaries, preachers, evangelists, and so we would devour those as we grew up. And so it was really no surprise then, in about the fourth grade, I felt the Lord might be leading me into missions. And my heroes at the time, still are really, were David Livingstone and Nate Saint. And I thought, I think the Lord wants me to be a missionary pilot. And that was kind of my focus as I was growing up, and so I went off to college to study missionary aviation. But the Lord had other plans. He knew that one day I'd be serving him with Bibles International, and so he kind of redirected my plans. I don't know if it was just because of me, but my freshman year they closed down the aviation program at the college I was attending. So the Lord directed me into printing, which is going to come in very handy, working with Bibles International. And so I graduated with a missions degree and a printing degree, spent about 8 years in the printing industry. And during that time, I met my lovely wife, and we were married, and we both had a desire to serve the Lord, and if possible, serve the Lord together for the same ministry. We weren't sure how that was going to work out. And then as my printing career was coming to an end, we prayed, and we even looked at tent-making missions with a printing emphasis, but there really wasn't anything open at the time. And so the Lord knew that I still needed a little more training and education before I was ready for the job he had for me down the road. So the Lord directed us to work together at Clearwater Christian College, where I served as the director of auxiliary services for just about 17 years. And during that time, the Lord taught me how to manage people, how to manage projects, and not that I've mastered either of those, but he gave me an opportunity to get some business courses, able to get a business degree. And all of that is building up to where he was going to be leading us. Well, a couple of years ago, all during this time, we had been under godly pastors, godly mentors. We had gotten really involved in our church in Florida. We had been going on missions trips. Our church had an annual missions trip, which I highly recommend. And we had gotten to the point where we were actually the missions trip coordinator. And I would tell Bonnie after every trip, you know, I think I could see a servant here. I said this after every trip, regardless whether it was international or domestic. And it was kind of neat. The Lord wasn't sending us to just one field, now that we look back, but he was sending us to multiple fields through Bibles International. And we had been reading books recommended by our pastor, books like Radical, and we were kind of becoming very uncomfortable with our comfortable American Christian lives. We thought, you know, I think the Lord has something else for us. We made that very clear last fall. We found out that our ministry at Clearwater is coming to an end. We prayed, Lord, you know, we still love serving you in a ministry, still would like to serve you together, husband and wife. And Lord provided that opportunity through a series of unusual events and a church that was very missions-minded and was already involved with Bibles International and a pastor that was very, very much for us going to the mission field. And Lord worked all that together, and this past March, we felt God calling us to Bibles International. And we thought that, okay, well, we'll just kind of ease into this. I'd always been a little shy and hesitant about the deputation part. That wasn't really my thing. And Lord's working with me on that, and actually we are enjoying it. And so we put our house on the market. We said, well, we'll make it up to Michigan, because we had been in Florida, as my wife said, for over 20 years, and really, really liked the climate and everything. And I'm from Michigan, so I knew what was in Grand Rapids. And so we put our house up for sale, and the Lord sold it in 4 days after we listed it. So we realized the Lord wanted us up in Grand Rapids this summer. So we moved up here the end of May and began working part-time in the office in 1st of June. And I'm so thankful to look back and see the different pieces, really kind of random pieces, the Lord put together to prepare us for the ministry serving with Bibles International. And we're excited to be there and excited to see what the Lord is going to do and actually seeing what he already is doing. And by having Joel and I here today, you're getting a really large section of the areas that Bibles International works in. I'm primarily focusing on Africa today, and Joel's been called to go to Asia, and I'm sure he'll say more about that this morning and tonight. So those were most of our projects are. So you're going to get a real good cross-section of the work that Bibles International does. So right now I'm going to switch over to a DVD we produced this summer for our Harvest Banquet, and it relates to our projects that we have in the continent of Africa.
In a continent the size of Africa, it's not surprising to find diversity as vast as the landmass itself. From sprawling metropolises to nomadic settlements, from people carrying cell phones to those completely shut off from any communication with the outside world, from thatched roofed huts to modern skyscrapers, from Islamic mosques to Christian churches, the continent is teeming with contrasting elements. Linguistic diversity alone is significant, with over 2,000 languages being spoken in Africa. Throughout its 32-year history, Bibles International, though a very small organization, has been blessed to be a part of impacting the continent of Africa with the Word of God. We have completed 10 New Testaments for Benin, Chad, Cote d'Ivoire, and Togo, as well as entire Bibles for people groups in Ghana and Niger. Currently, we are helping a dozen teams translate the Bible into their respective languages. Languages like the Songhai in Mali, the Dende in Benin, the Dogari in Ghana, the Sango in Central African Republic, and 8 separate languages in the country of Chad. The task is tedious and not without challenges specific to each project. Yet we see God's direction and provision and the ultimate change in lives as we continue the work He has called us to do. Some individuals on our Chadian team know what it's like to be persecuted for their faith and will forever bear the scars received from their tormentors. In spite of, or maybe because of what they have endured, their faith is strong, as is their desire to have the complete Word of God written in their language. The Chadians have recently completed their translation center, a facility that has been invaluable to each of the 8 translation teams working in that country. The missionary coordinator for our Songhai New Testament project in Mali felt compelled to move his family to Benin when the rebel uprising near their home became too intense. The Songhai project continues despite their relocation, and before the New Testament has even been completed, the portions of Scripture that are finished are being used in Mali in life-changing ways. When V.I.'s translation of the Book of Luke was made the narration for the Jesus video, God spoke to the hearts of Songhai speakers.
Mali is a country where the official language is French, and the Songhai people, some of them speak, most of them speak a little bit of French, but most of them don't speak enough French to really understand well. But the missionaries showed the Jesus film in French a few times in different occasions to 100, 150 people at a time. And when they showed it, the people would all talk. And it wasn't that they weren't interested, it's just that they didn't understand it. So they would ask somebody else in the crowd who spoke better French than they did, "What did he say?" And they would say, and so the film didn't really have quite the impact that people would like it to have. So when it was done in Songhai, there was a group of about 500 came together for the first showing of it. And for nearly 2 hours, which is the length of the full version of the Jesus film, they said you could have heard a pin drop. Everybody just listened and took it in, was just able to understand everything. And after the service, one of the gentlemen came up to the missionary there and he said, "I always thought Jesus was a white person, but he's Songhai." And so they so totally identified with it that they really realized that Jesus was, as it were, speaking directly to them, sharing his story with them through the film. It's quite an exciting, thrilling thing to see this kind of thing, especially when you worked with books and papers so many hours and things checking, and then to realize that the message has really come through to people.
What is today the Central African Republic is the site where BI's parent organization, Baptist Good Missions, began. BMM's founder, William Haas, knew how important it would be for newly converted Christians to have the Word of God to study for themselves, as well as to share with the lost. And he began to translate the Bible into the Sango language. That Bible is now nearly 50 years old and is currently being revised by Bibles International to be used by the many churches in that country. Often we think of the importance of God's Word for the layperson and fail to realize the tremendous gift that it is for pastors. Interestingly enough, the Benin government is paying 3 Bible school students to teach literacy in the villages, and they are using the Dendi New Testament to do so. Though diversity is a defining characteristic for the continent of Africa, one thing is common to all, a need to know God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As Islam seems to widen its influence and strengthen its hold in Africa, as uprisings occur in individual countries, we feel even more the urgency to advance, to finish our current projects, and to begin others. The need for God's Word in the language of every African compels us. We look to God for the provision of resources, both funds and personnel, in order to move forward while it is day. We in the United States have received a great gift from those who translated God's Word into English. May we be faithful in appreciating and using that gift and in regifting it to those in Africa who need it.
That's one thing that the Lord struck. He gave to my wife and I the verse Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. And if we get a chance, we'll talk. talk a little bit more about those verses. But His word is so powerful; it's alive. It will not return empty wherever it is sent. And the Lord used that to speak to our hearts. It's like, what better way to devote our remaining years of service and ministry than to get His word out into the hands of those that never had it? I can't imagine waiting my entire life to receive my first scriptures. But yet there are millions across the globe that are in that same position, waiting for God's word. Like I said, I went to Chad, and Chad's not in the news every day, so I'll give you a little background. Over 11 million people in the country of Chad. And in those 11 million people, there are over 130 languages. We are only working with 8, so there's a long ways to go. It's predominantly Muslim, as the video stated. And it's mostly in the north, but even in the south, as I traveled, even in small villages, there'd at least be one mosque, if not two. It was part of the French Equatorial Africa, and they gained their independence in 1960. Their first president, Tumble Bay, was actually raised not by missionaries, but he went to mission schools as he was growing up. And we would like to think that he was a believer, but we know from his actions as the president he was not. And since he was assassinated in 1975, and ever since then there's been just kind of an uneasiness, as there are in many African nations, as far as security and government. And right now, Chad serves as a refugee asylum for refugees from both the Sudan and from the CAR, which have been in the news lately. I go back to this slide here. This is a picture of a sugarcane field, and it's one of their main staples down in the southern part of Chad. And when President Tumble Bay became president, he started a cultural revolution, making everything go back to becoming more Chadian. He wanted to really make the Chadian culture stand out. Well, part of that was you couldn't use other languages. And because Christianity had come through the Central African Republic, people were using Sango Bibles. He told the churches, you can no longer use Sango Bibles. So if you can imagine, the Bible that you grew up with was suddenly taken away from you. And I spoke with one of the pastors that lived during that time, Pastor Takia, who was one of our translators. And he said people would go to church, and then they would go home. And they would, as was mentioned in the video, they would forget what they heard because they couldn't reference it at home. And the Bible was becoming less and less meaningful to them because they didn't have their own copy. Well, another thing that the president did is he wanted to reinstitute the tribal initiations that would take place in the bush. And this always involved demon worship. And they would learn a demonic language. And, of course, the Chadian pastors and believers were totally against this. And so the president said, well, you can come join my ecumenical religious group that I'm starting, or you'll be persecuted. Well, in 1973 or 74, 13 Chadian pastors stood against the president, and they were martyred for their faith in this field. They were buried alive, and the president had gathered 10 more pastors that he was going to also persecute. But the Lord spared their lives because of his assassination. While I was over there, I got to meet the children of these pastors, both the ones that had been spared and the ones that had been martyred. And it was very, very interesting talking with them. Well, the background, we got a picture of a large Francophone or French-speaking church in Chad, probably the largest. And Christianity came to Chad in the 1920s through Paul Metzler. And he is one of the early Baptist missions missionaries. It wasn't called that back then. It had a very long name, General Council of Cooperating Baptists of North America. Very glad they shortened their name. That'd be a lot to put on your display. Some of the things he started was this church here, which is still preaching the gospel after all these years. This is a church that belongs to the Sarakaba Na language group. Also, it's the school that his daughters started. Since that time, the school has grown large, and to the point now it's run by the government and adjacent property next to the mission. There's a Bible school that's still in use every year. There's a pastoral training center also on the property. On the next town over, Coomera, there's a huge hospital complex that was started by Baptist and Mission missionaries and has now been turned over to the Chadians, and is still a hospital you want to go to in the area if you have to go to the hospital. And there's also a dispensary there on the mission property in Bulimba, where I was staying, with a dispensary, a dental clinic, and a maternity clinic. But what we're most excited about is the translation center that was built there back in 2010. So it's been just roughly 3 years. This is where all our workshops in Chad come to meet with the translators, or the translators come to meet with the consultants, and they work through the scriptures that they've been translating on their own. And there's a place for them to stay. And it's been a very, very helpful thing to have in Chad. Well, I was able to meet with six of our eight language groups while I was over there. And each one is a little different. It was so refreshing to meet with these believers who are incredibly hungry for God's Word. Some of them have already had their New Testament translated. Some were working on their very first scriptures or New Testaments. And the first group was the Sarah Majangai. And you can see one of their churches in the background. This is about 183,000 people, the largest language group that we're working with in Chad right now. And actually, they started their translation for the New Testament back in 1965. And when BI was formed in 1981, we took that over, helped them complete that. And since then, we've revised their New Testament, and we're currently working on their Old Testament. And I believe all that's left to do is Ezekiel, Job, Daniel, Jeremiah, and Lamentations. So they're very close. And we're looking at finishing that around 2017. This is a picture of their oversight committee, or their coordinating committee. The non-African in the picture is Susan Hasek. She's our consultant that lives in Chad. We've got two consultants that live there, Susan and Annabeth Wibble. And they're working with the Nationals the entire time. And so this is the Sarah Majangai. And two things about them. They're known as a very impatient people. They will tell you this right to their face. In fact, the driver that we had that drove us around was Sarah Majangai. And there was not a pothole that he was afraid of. I mean, he would just fly through everything, so because he had to get there. And so they're known for their impatience. In fact, after I met with them, the president of the committee apologized to me for their impatience in wanting to have God's Word completed, if you can imagine that. But they don't, at the same time they want it done, they don't want to rush through it. Also in the Sarah Majangai, another translation had been done, a complete Bible by other groups, and they did it so fast it was full of errors, and nobody uses it because it's just, they did it too fast. You can go too fast. And we're very careful as we do our translations. They understand that, but they still want it done. And in fact, they doubled the amount of work they were producing for our consultants to check because they want it done so quickly. The next group I met were the Dai, and they're about 50,000. And we completed their first New Testament with them in 1989 and working on the Old Testament. And all that's left to do is the book of Ezekiel and nine books to correct. We'll probably do a slight revision of the New Testament. And this is their group, and they were very excited about using their text for evangelistic purposes, which is exciting to us. I mean, our end goal is not to just make Bibles for people so they have something to read, but so they can fully engage, and they can share it, they can evangelize, they can disciple. And that's really our end goal. And I show this next picture. This is where we store all of our New Testament stocks in Chad. It's in a metal shipping container, which is okay to keep out the sun and the dust, but not okay when it comes to little critters that like to burrow. And so I throw this up just as planting seed for a church that might be interested in a future missions project. We would love to transfer these New Testaments from the shipping crate over to the translation center, build shelves so they can be stored in climate-controlled and vermin-free environment. So it's just something to think about. Next group were the Daba, and we're very excited because the translation work is done. All that's left to do for the Daba is to go through the final checks. And that's what our BI consultant, Susan Hasek, will be doing over the next year. And what's notable about this group is that the entire church was part of the Translation Oversight Committee. And they were all very excited about receiving their very first New Testament. Never had the scriptures in the Daba language before. And these are their translators. These gentlemen work in two rooms at the end of the church, no electricity, one window, and their job for the past, 10 years has been translating God's word into the Daba language. And they threw a party for us, very excited. They gave us a chicken, and that's really a sign that they appreciate the work that we're helping them to do. The next group are the Rito, and like the Daba, their language group transcends the border. There are some in Chad, but the majority are in the CAR. And you'll see the signs in the background. They're signs for the refugee camp, those coming up from the CAR. And we are also working on the very first scriptures. And we're very excited about this one because it's actually in production in Grand Rapids. We received the text, and our staff up there are formatting it. And we'll be sending that to the printer soon, and we're looking to have a Bible dedication there next summer. And this is their language translation committee, and this is the president of that committee and his wife. Next group I met with were the GOM, and it's about 44,000 people in this language group. And we also printed their New Testament in 99, working on the Old Testament. And so far, Genesis through Chronicles and the Book of Psalms have been translated. This is a case where the devil loves to throw in roadblocks because he hates to have God's word available to people. And so the translator, most language groups only have one, maybe two translator. In this case, there's one translator and he's been very ill. And so when the translator becomes ill, that slows down the whole process. So you can pray for the GOM, pray for their translator, that he'll be in good health and they can make good progress. The last group I was able to meet with were the Sarakaba Dem. It's a picture of one of their churches. We helped them with their New Testament, also in 99, working on the Old Testament. And currently in the office, we are working on a trial edition of the book of Genesis for them. In the interim period, when we start translation till they receive their translated copy of God's Word, we like to do trial editions for two reasons: to make sure that what we're translating is understood and it makes sense to them. It's also the way that they would say things. And also, it keeps them involved and interested in the translation process because it takes a long time. On average, we're trying to get the average down for the New Testament translation time to 8 years. You can imagine working 8 years on one project. And we're trying to get it down to eight, and we're trying to get the Old Testament down to 12 so that the entire translation process would only at the most take 20 years. That seems like a long time, but it takes that amount of time to correctly translate God's Word. And this is their Translation Oversight Committee. And actually, while I was there, Anna Beth and our director, Dr. Hans Bernard, were doing a work translation workshop. And so I was able to get some shots of that. Since it was all done in French, I couldn't really understand what's going on. But other groups that we have there, we have the Sarakaba Na. And this is a picture of a workshop that was also being held while I was there. Could not get to meet with them because it was the rainy season and the roads were too bad to get to where they live. Our philosophy is really very simple. The Lord has charged us with doing three basic things. Using national translators. A missionary could spend 20, 25, 30 years on the field and still not know the language better than a national. And so we like using national translators. We ask, obviously, that they have some Bible education so they understand God's word and the principles. But we found that works better than using an expat missionary. We also use local church sponsorship. Some ministries, you know, God has called them to go boldly where no man has gone before. And that's fine. But the Lord has called us to work with groups of established churches that are hungry for God's word. And this has worked well. It's given the people more ownership in the translation and more involvement. And that's how the Lord has charged us to do our translation setups. And, of course, most importantly, a literal translation of God's word. There are many other ways to do God's word, but we believe the literal translation is best. And that's why our consultants, like Joel, will be working with the Greek and the Hebrew to make sure that the translation corresponds to what God originally sent. This is Kimmery. I met him. He works in the translation center. And his job is to enter in all of the translation work into a computer. So everything that's translated, here's the picture. I don't know if you can see pretty well. You've got a language, tribal language on the top, followed by a line of French in this case. And his job is to enter all of that into the computer so that we have a digital copy that we can work with. A lot of places we work, this isn't necessary, but it is necessary in Africa as few people have computers of their own. So what's a projects manager? That's what the Lord has called me to do there. And it's kind of a vague title at times, but the Lord has given me several things I need to work on. You can pray for me because it is kind of a steep learning curve. Even though I was a manager before, this is entirely different. Research. We've got many things. We've got five projects right now that people have requested. Will you please do the Bible in our language? And it breaks your heart because you get these and you would love to do them all, but you can't because they're limited on personnel, limited. Maybe the people group are too small or not quite organized enough. And so we'll work with them over a period of several years to see if we can adopt their language. And once we walk them through the adoption process, as we call it, then we start the translation workshops. And then it's my job to work out the logistics of that. I work with the text production department. And we make sure that people have the money they need to travel. They have their tickets. There's enough workshops and that every language group is getting the attention they need to make sure that the language translation process carries on. And then lastly, the most exciting part is the printing and the dedication, distribution. And that's a very rewarding time. I look forward to my first dedication, which I believe will be next fall. So we're excited about that. This is where we are, where God has called us to work. Most of it, as you can see, is in Africa and Asia. But we do have some projects in North and South America and one in Europe and in the Pacific. So we're very... very excited. This is also on our display table, which I would love for you to all come by and look at Joel's table and our table and take a look at some of the Bibles that have been printed and just see how God is working. It's fascinating ministry to be involved with. I can honestly say that I do love my job. Every day is practically unscripted, and you just never know what's going to happen. That can be good or bad, but it's mostly good. So I think we are pretty much out of time. So let's pray, and then we'll get ready for the morning service. We're thankful for the opportunity we have to share what you're doing in our lives and what you're doing through Bibles International. And just pray that your work will continue to go forth, Lord, and that you will allow us to do even more than we thought possible, and reach new languages with your word, which we've never had it before. Pray to be with Brother Joel as he brings the message this morning. Lord, fill him with your power. And thank you again for the warm welcome we received here at Fellowship Bible and for them allowing us to be here. And we just thank you and praise you for this. In your name, amen.